Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me here today during our lovely podcast. This week we're going to focus on clairsentience. We've already covered clairaudience and clairvoyance, where I provided you some tips and tricks to start working on those abilities. This week is going to focus specifically on clairsentience. Now, I have a feeling that most people, probably everybody, is clairsentient. We all have that gut feeling about people, sometimes places and situations, even though some of us might feel like we have piss poor judgment, and maybe we feel like our gut reaction was wrong. So I'm going to try to talk about all of those today. But first, we're going to start this call by reviewing what clairsentience is. Being clairsentient means that you have the capability to receive psychic information through either sensing or feeling energy. Some people say the energy is very subtle. I'm not sure that I fall within that same field. I kind of believe that energy is relative, depending upon, of course, the person who is feeling and sensing it. However, clairsentience is a French word that pretty much just means to sense or feel. It's like clear feeling, clear sensing. If you're clairsentient, you have the ability to really clearly sense energy from beyond the physical plane. You can tune into the energy of places, situations, people, essentially through feeling, and often in the form of a gut feeling. Now, just to speak for myself, I don't necessarily think I have the gut feeling. I don't think I've ever experienced that in my life. I imagine for some people, there is a literal feeling in the gut region, which is the solar plexus region, that intuitively tells them about a situation, a person, etc. If you're like me, you don't necessarily get a sensation in the stomach area about people or places. You might get information a different way. However, we shouldn't undervalue the power of clairsentience. I think that this gift is super helpful, especially if you're in the healing arts, but also just in life in general. So let's talk a little bit more about clairsentience. How do you know if you're clairsentient? How do you know if you have the ability to sense and feel energy? I think that this is a really difficult conversation to have sometimes because no one can tell you exactly, well, what is energy supposed to feel like? This is the ultimate question. I think when I started doing Reiki a few years ago, I kind of expected that feeling of energy. There was supposed to be, I don't know, a burst of vibrations, a burst of pulsations. I wasn't exactly sure that I understood energy in general. However, if you are a Reiki practitioner, and for those of you who are new, that's the ability to heal through touch. There's more to it, and I'll do a completely separate episode on Reiki and healing touch. However, if you started out doing Reiki, whether you're new or you've been doing it for a while, most people kind of get the sensation of heat in their hands. I did not get that, and that is still rare for me. So for some reason, for most practitioners, energy is supposed to have a temperature change. And for some, it really does have that, especially if you go to, let's say, haunted houses or what have you. But for me, that never happened. So it was kind of difficult to, you know, deduce, well, what is energy supposed to be? Like, how do I know how to feel it, etc.? And we'll get to all of that shortly. So if you are clairsentient, or if you don't know, if you're trying to figure out if you're clairsentient, let me give you some signs that might tell you that you're a clairsentient, that you actually do have the innate ability to feel and sense energy. Number one, you will be one of those people who feels completely drained after being a part of a large group. I think this is for most intuitives, actually, that let's say you're invited to a party, or you're going to our favorite place, Walmart, or you're going to, I don't know, Costco, Sam's Club, just a grocery store, and you feel wiped out afterward. Like you go home and you just need to sleep. It feels like you just ran a marathon. Then you are definitely a clairsentient person. However, you're either a clairsentient who has absorbed the energy of other people and you're bringing it home with you, unfortunately, or you're the clairsentient type who just feels it and is exhausted from it when you come home. That's a telltale sign that you definitely have that as a gift. Number two, you have very strong instincts about places, people, and situations. So for example, if you meet someone and you kind of have a feeling in your body about them immediately, first impression, then you're reading their energy. You're picking up on their energy. So you're definitely clairsentient. And this applies to places and situations also. So if you can sense the energy from a room, like for example, let's say a couple has just completed like arguing. They just finished arguing in a room and you walk in there, you can feel the tension and the anger in the room. Then you're definitely using your clairsentience to assess the energy of a space. It's like leftover energy. It's really tangible to people with clairsentience. It's the same thing. It's part of the reason why crowded spaces also can be very draining. Okay. You also can tell when someone else has had a bad day, even though they've tried to hide it. So again, you have very good sensing skills about a person. You know something's off, you know something's wrong, even though they're telling you they're fine. But intuitively, there's kind of it's almost like a knowing in a way. And sometimes I feel like clairsentience manifests that way as well. If you have been told in your life that you're an extremely sensitive person, oh, she's too sensitive, or he's just a very sensitive guy, you have to be careful saying these things, you can't criticize too much. Even though in society, being, you know, a highly sensitive person is equated with being weak, that's not the case. It's just, again, that you are sensitive enough to pick up on everything. You know everything. You know what's going on. You know who's telling the truth. You know who's lying. You know what people's motives and intentions are without them having to say it. Boom. You're definitely a clairsentient person. If you find yourself feeling random emotions without any cause, if you feel overcome with waves of emotion for no reason, then chances are you are clairsentient and they're not your feelings. And that's a problem I think most clairsentients have, is trying to determine, are these, you know, my emotions, or are these other people's emotions that I'm carrying with me? All right. What else did I want to say? If you're just prone to having very strong gut feelings, if you are kind of known in your friendship circle to be the one just spot on for having really good gut feelings, really good intuition about people, places, and situations, then all of this points to you being very clairsentient. Another way to tell that you have this gift is, and this is one of the coolest things I think I've ever witnessed being in this type of community, if you're the type of person who can actually feel internally and in your body, just by being next to an individual, if you can feel somebody's physical pain, like it actually manifests into pain in your body, then you are what has been called either a quote-unquote physical empath or a physical clairsentient, is kind of what I call it. This is a very unique gift. And when I have read books about, oh, what are the clairs? What are the gifts that we can have in this world? Oh, you can be a healer, a reader, you know, Akashic records, everything under the sun. You don't really read about physical clairsentience. And the reason I know about it is because I have a friend who is an amazing physical clairsentience, and I wish that she would go into the healing arts because it would be unbelievable. It'd be a very dynamic gift to have or to apply it that way. A physical clairsentient or physical empath is somebody who literally, just by physical proximity, can feel an individual's ailments, actually feel them in their body. I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. I have a friend, like I was just saying, who is an amazing freaking clairsentient person. I do not have this gift. It never even crossed my mind, and I don't have it. And in a way, I'm kind of glad I don't have it. But whenever she has read for me, immediately, as soon as she starts tuning into my energy, she can feel the the pain that I have in my wrists, which I get from writing. And so her wrists start to hurt quite a bit. And if I'm having, you know, pain like in my neck or my back, she feels it 100%. Another example. So when my friend has read for a mutual friend of ours who has indigestion issues big time, every time she tunes into him, she starts to burp and she starts to have like gas buildup. She feels like gas is building up. Let me say that. It's such an unbelievable thing to watch because, again, prior to working with this person, I had never even knew that was a thing, like a real thing. If you have it, you kind of know that you have it for the most part. But here are a couple of ways you can figure out if you are a physical clairsentient. So you can ask yourself these questions. Number one, have you been labeled in your life as an overly sensitive person, like physically sensitive, or have you been labeled a hypochondriac? This is really food for thought, you guys, because some people are just true hypochondriacs and they want attention. Others might be hypochondriacs and actually be physical clairsentients who have been feeling the ailments of other people and they just don't even know it. So have you ever sat next to anyone or just someone who seemed to be nice, but then suddenly, you know, your eyelids start to get heavy and you felt like taking a nap? Then definitely you're a physical clairsentient. Do you feel uneasy, tired, or even sick in crowds and try to avoid them? Do you feel someone else's anxiety or physical pain in your body? Do you feel exhausted by angry or hostile people? Do you run from doctor to doctor for medical tests, even though you're told that you are fine with a clean bill of health? Are you chronically tired, or do you have many unexplained symptoms that actually really may not be symptoms? They may just be the ailments of others. And do you frequently feel overwhelmed by the world and want to stay at home? I would say if you answered yes to at least four of these or more, then chances are you are clairsentient, or physical clairsentient, excuse me. I would say it would be an amazing thing to watch if you were a physical clairsentient and you were a healer. It would be a lot easier for you to deduce the ailments in someone's body, or at least you would really be feeling their ailments. It's such a phenomena sometimes when I think about all of the possibilities and abilities that we have here that we still just aren't privy to and we're starting to learn. Okay, you guys, so there's something else I wanted to kind of touch on here during this podcast in terms of clairsentience, because when I think of clairsentience, being able to feel and sense other people's energy, etc., I always question, how does this work scientifically? If we were supposed to analyze it, you know, what are the actual, I don't even know how to even ask the question or pose the question. How does one feel or sense energy? What does this look like? And so I think about this quite often because I do feel energy, but I don't know that I necessarily feel like the energy of other people, but I know I feel the energy of my guides and angels, etc. So I started kind of doing my own little research in my mind in terms of how it is that a human being is able to sense, in general, maybe the magnetic energy of another person. And so it just brought me to looking at the human aura. And I'm sure we're all familiar with auras. It's usually, I would say the human aura is usually described as some sort of bubble of light that surrounds a human being from head to toe. The aura has multiple layers and they all interact and relay information between the body through the 7 chakra energy centers. So each layer of the aura relates to the physical, the mental, emotional and spiritual conditions of an individual. Energetic vibrations of a person's thoughts, feelings, their state of health, awareness, and even their past experiences are stored in the different, I would say, in each auric layer. So there are 7 auric layers that are commonly witnessed. I don't have this gift. I cannot see your aura. I have to be honest about that. I have tried in the past, like I have really tried, but I've had to accept that that's just not my thing. And So if you can't see it, it doesn't mean you can't feel it. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about the aura, primarily because I personally believe that we are able to read people, and our clairsentience works through the aura. I'm not sure if I can put 2 and 2 together yet, because I don't have it intellectually, but for some reason, something brought me back to looking at the human aura as a way of being, to like understand how one is able to read energy. So if it's not making perfect sense yet, hopefully by the end it does, but even if not, feel free to do your own research. I'm still doing my own on this topic because I don't think I understand the way that energy, I would say, technically operates, and how it operates from physical body to physical body in terms of being able to assess other people's energy and what that looks like technically. So I'm looking at the auric body of individuals just to see where some of the information is stored, because when you're reading another person, especially if you're reading them through touch in a way, or if you're assessing someone's energy as a psychic reader, you're trying to get the information, right, to the question that they're asking. But where is this information being held? Well, it's being stored in their auric field, right? And that's usually what I'm reading when I'm reading somebody. So let's talk about the 7 layers of the aura. And I hope that this conversation isn't going on some wild tangent, and that it is coming together. I know it's a lot of information today, so it's about to get a little dry, but I'm hoping that this is really, really helpful for you. So the first layer of your aura is called the etheric layer, or you'll also find it called the etheric body. It's the first layer, and it spans about 1/2 inch to 2 inches from the surface of your skin, and it outlines the body. I would say that this layer connects primarily with your root chakra, which is your first chakra, and it relates to the condition and the health of your physical body. So I would imagine that many medical intuitives are usually tapping into the etheric body of an individual to assess, you know, their medical condition or what their ailments might be. The second layer is called the emotional layer, but you'll also find it as the emotional body. It extends about 2 to 4 inches away from the physical body, and of course it encircles the body as an oval shape. This layer is connected to your second chakra, which is your sacral chakra, which means it's connected to your feelings, your emotions, etc. The third layer is called the mental layer, or the mental body, and it also connects to your third chakra, which is the solar plexus. I would say that your mental health and even your mental issues kind of present themselves in this specific layer. Okay. The fourth layer is called the astral bridge layer, or the astral body, and some places you'll also find it called the bridge layer. It is connected to your fourth chakra, and it is about 8 to 12 inches away from the physical body. Remember that the fourth chakra is your heart chakra. Okay. The fifth part of your aura is called the etheric template layer. It is, I would say, about 1 to 2 feet away from the physical body, and it connects with the throat chakra, which is your fifth chakra, which means it connects to sound, vibration, of course, embodies your communication, etc. All right. The sixth layer is the celestial layer, or you'll also find it as the celestial body. It extends about 2 to 3 feet away from your body, and it's supposed to reflect our subconscious mind. So the celestial layer is where the physical mind comes to connection with the spiritual mind, primarily through some sort of spiritual practice like meditation. And since it's connected with the sixth chakra, which is your brow chakra, then it's connected to your dreams, your spiritual awareness, intuitive knowledge, etc. It's said that the celestial layer holds our experiences of having a connection to something greater than ourselves. The seventh layer is called the causal layer, and in some places you'll see it called the Catholic template layer. And this one is connected to the seventh chakra, which is your crown chakra, which embodies all knowledge and even, I would say, all possibilities. This layer is supposed to protect and hold all of the other auric layers together. And this causal layer contains the blueprint of our spiritual path, right? It reflects all of our soul's experiences and events through time. It is essentially our link to source, all that is, God, creator, whatever you want to call it, within ourselves. And this layer extends about 3 to 5 feet away from your physical body, depending on your spiritual state. So that's quite a bit of information to digest right now. And I know it's a little dry, but I think it's really worth studying the aura because, again, just by me sharing that information with you, you've kind of seen that this, you know, here is this aura, this egg that's surrounding the entire body. And within each layer contains a lot of information. So when you are the psychic person providing the reading to an individual, you are kind of tapping into their energetic field because that is all it really is. And each layer has a very specific type of energy based upon either the person's emotions, their actions, their experiences, their mental, physical health. It's all there. Now, again, in terms of how I, the psychic person, can feel what's going on with you, I cannot give you that answer. I am not quite sure how that works, and it's something that I'm trying to study personally just because I would like to have a better understanding of energy in general, but also how it is that this energetic force field around our body is open enough so that somebody can tap in and see this or at least feel it. I imagine that the emotions have a specific vibration. I imagine that the mental health has a very specific vibration. I imagine that the physical health also carries its own specific vibration. And it is what it is radiating out, I feel like, is touching the solar plexus. And I could be 100% wrong with this, but I'm throwing my ideas out there because I feel like that's the whole purpose, is for us to study, learn, grow, and keep researching, and hopefully one day we'll be shown. So let's talk a little bit more about this whole idea of clairsentience. I will tell you for myself specifically, this was not my number one ability. I never grew up with gut feelings about people. If anything, I kind of fall into the camp where I could not assess a situation or a person very well. I always give people the benefit of the doubt, and I just don't have that initial gut reaction. And if you're like me, you know, you kind of wonder, well, why the hell don't I have that? Shouldn't we all have that alarm system? I know people who have it, and they use it very, very well. But for other people who have other gifts, this one is just very, very weak. Now, I want to talk about this whole idea of feeling energy again, because if you're clairsentient, then it's what you can do. You can feel different forms of energy, and that's kind of the point, right? I will tell you a short story. So, as I said, I've never had clairsentience until many years ago. It kind of crept up out of the blue. I never asked for this gift. It was never on my radar. Actually, none of this was, as you guys know my story. I've always had hearing. However, before I jumped full force into doing this type of work in this community, I was in grad school and living my life with other priorities. Let's put it like that. Well, back in 2006, I'll never forget this because I had some strange experiences during that year. I remember specifically, again, being in school, about to, I think I was finishing my master's at the time, and I was also taking piano lessons. So I wanted to really learn how to play the piano, and I was practicing like every day because I'm a very disciplined person and it's what I do. However, I think a few weeks into it, I was starting to feel strange. And obviously, you know when your health is great and you know when your health is not good. You can, actually feel that. But I was noticing that when I was playing the piano, I was starting to feel a little muddled, like in the head. I felt very disoriented and I thought it would pass. I thought maybe the note, I was confused in terms of trying to read, the treble and the bass clef notes, and it was too overwhelming. However, I noticed it kept happening every time I went to go play the piano, and I was extremely freaking disoriented, and I was getting mad. I was like, what's happening to me? I thought I was losing my mind. Well, it wasn't only happening there. Whenever I started going to the stores, concerts, especially grocery stores, stores where there are a number of people, I was having the same feeling. And it was starting to really scare me. Here I am in school and I didn't know what was happening to me. And to be perfectly honest with you guys, I thought I had some sort of like tumor on my brain. I didn't know why in some circumstances I was feeling this sense of just being lost and confused. And then later I would feel back to normal. And it was a recurring problem. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And I was really, really starting to think, God, I need to go to the hospital and have a CAT scan of my brain because something is really off here. However, I knew it wasn't all the time. It wasn't consistent. It was only in certain situations. That same year, I went to France with a boyfriend at the time, and we went to the wonderful, Louvre Museum, which I've always wanted to go to. And while we're walking in there, I'm having the same problem. And I wanted to just break down and cry because I felt like I must have a brain tumor. Something's happening to me. I feel so confused and lost in here. I can't think straight. I really feel like I'm gonna collapse. It was overwhelming. However, I remember when we walked out of the museum and into that big garden, I felt a million times better. And I wasn't doing any of this work that I'm doing now during that time. So you have to understand, there was no way in my mind that I ever would have known what was going on in truth. So all those years, because I was too afraid to go to the hospital. I was too afraid to get a diagnosis. I was too afraid because at the time, I was like, okay, I'm finishing my master's. I'm gonna get my PhD. I'm busting my tail. There's no way that I'm doing all of this for nothing, that I'm gonna die. And as ridiculous as this sounds, if you could feel what I was feeling, you may have been thinking the same thing. If we fast forward to some years. Well, when I started actually working in this field, because I'm not going to make this whole episode about me, I met my spirit guide. And the moment I actually met my spirit guide, I got that same feeling. The same feeling, very disoriented, lost and confused, foggy. Operative word is foggy. And I was able to put two and two together years, plural, later. I had no idea. I didn't know that that's what energy felt like for me. Whenever I feel my guide, and I'm just speaking currently, whenever I feel my guide, whenever I feel an angel, whenever I feel a deceased person, whenever I feel an archangel, that's the feeling. And it doesn't sound wonderful. It actually sounds really bad while I'm telling you. But to be perfectly blunt with you, that is the sensation that I get whenever a guide, an angel or archangel or deceased person is around me. And there are levels of that energy, of course. But now I know what it is specifically. But at the time, there's no way in hell I would have known. Oh, there's a freaking archangel over my shoulder while I'm playing the piano and they're trying to help me. Instead, they're making it so hard for me that I'm disoriented and I can't read or focus, which was the case for years. Very, very hard thing. The reason I'm telling you this is because I had no idea at the time that that's what energy felt like. For me, at least. Everybody feels things differently, which we all know. None of us are the same. We're all very unique. And there's no right or wrong way to feel or sense energy. And what you may feel could be completely different than what somebody else may feel as energy. So trying to compare how you sense energy with someone else, like what it's supposed to feel like, that's not going to work. The sensations that I get, I know that my other friends don't have that at all. That doesn't happen to them. But then I have a very good friend who I've been practicing with for years who feels it similarly. And I'm so glad to have found like a companion sister who actually also feels very nauseous when there's an archangel. And it's wonderful to know that I'm not losing my mind and that I don't have a brain tumor. So anyway, I digress too much. So let's talk about clairsentience and learning how to feel energy. This gift, like I said, I feel like is a difficult one because you don't know what you're supposed to get. You don't know what it's supposed to feel like. I am going to try to give you some exercises today. If you can grab paper and pen, you can put me on pause because I really want you to try to practice developing this skill. I think it's very important to know when your guide and angels are around, especially because if they're there, then they're there to share something with you. They're there to help you, to give you a clue, to answer a question. I think it's a great ability to have. And even if you're a healer, being able to feel energy, especially in someone's body, is also like feeling a disturbance, for an example, is super useful. So let's kind of try to get our learn on when it comes to feeling energy. And I'm going to give you a few ways that I think are really helpful. And it does take time. I'm not gonna BS you and say, oh, you know, if you do this for 4 weeks, you're gonna, you know, you're golden. You've solved the mystery. That's not true. I'm still learning, and it has been years now. So, like everything else in life, it's a process. But I'm gonna tell you some ways that you can go ahead and kickstart this. And I am not sure what things are gonna feel like for you. Only you know. But then your job on your end is to trust and believe, all right? So now that you have your notebook and you have a pen handy, here's what I want you to do. Number one, you need to go to the store or our friendly store, Amazon, or your neighboring, your neighborhood metaphysical store, and go buy in bulk a pound or half a pound of crystals and stones. And yes, do invest in these. These are going to be your little helpers initially, and then you can use them for all sorts of things later. Number one, you are going to spend 2 weeks every day for 2 weeks. Yes, discipline yourself. Sitting down, clearing your energy. You can sage yourself. You can do a white light meditation to clear out your chakras. You're going to sit in a very quiet space. Once you're ready to go, I want you to rub your hands together, open up those hand chakras. You have chakras in your hands, I promise. And then you're going to sit down and grab a stone or crystal. You can look at it if you want, or you can pick with your eyes closed. It doesn't really matter. You're going to cup it in between your hands. And then you're going to try to feel the energy off the stone or crystal. You may feel something, you may feel nothing. Now, what are you supposed to feel? For some people, they'll feel heat. Some people will feel pulses in their hands, and some people will feel vibration. Or you may have a completely different feeling that I don't even know what it could be. Don't overanalyze it. Don't be too analytical at the beginning, you'll ruin it. So what you really want to do is, once you're finished, I would say hold it in your hand for like 2 to 3 minutes. I want you to put it down, and then I want you to write in your notebook, I felt small pulses, or I felt a wave of this, or whatever it is you felt. Or if you felt nothing, please write that. Felt absolutely nothing. You're going to do this with a series of stones or crystals of your choice. You could do like 3 a day, that's fine. And then you want to keep documenting everything. Super important, because we're trying to track the changes here. You do this every day. After 2 weeks, I hope you have tracked whether or not you have started to feel something off of your crystals or stones. If it's a small change, that's great. If it's a big change, that's great. Again, don't be too analytical here and don't be too skeptical either. Once we've done this successfully with your stones and crystals, we're going to move to flowers. So yes, you have to go to your store and buy some flowers, but it's totally worth the practice. You're going to do the same thing. So the following 2 weeks, you're going to spend feeling the energy of a variety of flowers. So in your notebook, again, you're going to get, you're going to put the name of the flower. So you could say red rose, and then what you felt. White rose, what you felt. Pink rose, what you felt. Sunflower, exactly. The same things. You're sitting down, clearing your energy, rubbing your hands to open the hand chakras, cupping the flower. Just breathe in and out. Keep your eyes closed. Relax and try to feel. And then you're going to write in your journal. And if you feel nothing the first few days, again, that's totally fine. We're looking at a progression here, steady progress. After those 2 weeks, then you're going to move on to plants or herbs of your choice. And you're going to practice for those following 2 weeks. This does require a lot of discipline and commitment. If you really want it, you'll stay consistent. After we graduate from those practices, we're going to move on to something else, something I think is very exciting, and that's learning to feel the energy of your guides and angels and archangels. Even if you have yet to meet any of them, know any of their names, never seen them, it doesn't matter. It doesn't negate the fact that they're still present and always around you and will be there when you call. So what you're going to do is sit down. We're first going to work with your spirit guide. You're going to get your journal. You're going to sit down, clear your energy, breathe in and out a few times, rub your hands together. Once you do that, I want you to call in your spirit guide. Ask them to step forward. You can just call them spirit guide. It's okay if they don't have a name. Ask them to please help you. You're practicing, you're learning to feel energy. And then you're going to place your arms out in front of you, arms extended, hands up, palms out. And you're going to call and ask your spirit guide to place their hands against yours. I always think keeping your eyes closed is the best way. And then you ask them to place their hands against yours so that you may feel their energy. And then I want you to notice the sensation that you feel. Now here's the thing. You may actually feel the energy in your hands or bounce around your hands. You might feel the energy bounce around your body. You might feel it in your back, your shoulders, your legs, your feet, your hand. I mean, it could be anywhere. Pay attention to where you're feeling it and what it feels like. Is it intense? Is it gentle and soft? Do you feel absolutely nothing? Write this down. And then you're going to place your hands out in front of you, palms down, or your hands open, excuse me, and you're going to ask your guide to sit in front of you and place his or her hands into yours. And just breathe in and out and try to feel that energy, what that feels like. I want you to do that for an entire week with your guide, every day. And then you're going to do the same activity with your guardian angel. You're going to call them in the following week. Even if you haven't met them, it doesn't matter. You're going to do the same exact exercise where you're going to feel their energy with your hands to hands, and then you're going to feel their energies in your hands again the other way. And you're going to practice with them for an entire week. And then the following week, so again, this is going to take some months here, but it's worth it. The following week, you're going to think about which archangel you want to practice with, because there are many. And then you're going to do the same exercise with that archangel. So stick to one archangel the first week. And usually I have to say, and this is just a personal thing, whenever the archangels come in for me, it's so strong. The feeling is so overwhelming, it almost takes your breath away. And I kind of get this feeling that this happens to a lot of people, so I think you'll be able to tell when an archangel is present. But let's say, for example, you want to work with Archangel Michael for the week. Practice that same exercise with him twice a day for a week. And then the following week, you could work with Archangel Gabriel, etc., etc., etc. After these 2 to 3 months of devoted, committed practice, you're going to start noticing some shifts in your body. You might actually start feeling different types of energies come in. Again, I can't say exactly for you what that energy is going to feel like, but it could feel like a lot of pressure around your head. You could feel it in your chest. You could feel something on your right or left shoulder. And the reason I'm saying that is because your guides have a tendency to come in behind either your right or left shoulder. It's really, really common. A couple of things here that I need to state. Always remember, protect yourself. When you start opening up the doors to the spirits, everything wants to come in. So I'm not trying to fool you or, you know, pretend with you. You can protect yourself by putting, I would say, a bubble of light around your body that's completely reinforced. That's the way I usually tell people to do it. Just to make sure you're the only things that are coming in are what you're inviting in. After you do this, you guys, for a few months, I really do feel like your clairsentience will start to really open up. If you're already a healer and you want to open this up more, this is definitely going to heighten your abilities to feel what's going on with your clients. A couple of other things before we close out for the day. Remember to clear your energy. Always clear your energy at the end of the day, whether you're doing healing, whether even when you're doing this practicing, you need to be able to shake it off and clear it. So even though this is redundant information, it's super important. Sage yourself, dance and sing, believe it or not, that works. Listening to music too works. Salt bath, super important. I kind of advise you to create your own like salt scrub that is specifically for this in particular. When you're doing any type of psychic work, it's important to clear your energy all of the time at the end. So kind of creating your own salt scrub devoted to clearing your energy and just have it for that. You can use that in the shower right afterwards as well to clear out everything. And of course, doing a white light meditation even at the end helps to clear out all of the energy. But you always want to make sure you're protected throughout all of this work. I know we covered a lot and I even gave you some homework that I hope is really helpful for you. I'm interested after a few months, you know, to see, did anybody notice a shift? Are people feeling things, etc.? I'm always curious and open to hearing people's stories because I'm tired of hearing my own and I love to learn. I hope this was super helpful today, you guys, on clairsentience. I know that we could sit down and have a very long conversation on how most clairsentients are empaths and vice versa, and it's all the same. However, I think that learning to sense different forms of energy is such a crucial gift because it also lets you sense when you're meeting somebody what their intentions are, what their motives are, etc. That's such an important gift to have, especially operating on this crazy planet. Thank you guys so much for listening. I am appreciative. If you guys can, please leave a review. It helps people to find me on iTunes and leave some feedback as well. If you have any questions that want to be addressed, you can find my email in the description section. I have a really great treat for you guys for the next episode. I cannot wait to share it with you. So please, please, please tune in. I think it's going to help so many of you. I have a very special guest. I will talk to you guys soon. Please have a great week.